94.7, the Pulse is Monday front page. We're going to talk about an issue that we probably shouldn't need to talk about, but we still do. Bullying is a subject we tend to focus a lot on in school grounds. But sadly, those same people possibly take those habits into their adult life, and we still see it a lot in workplaces. And a person who's going to help us work through some issues around that, Tammy Tansley, is an expert in this subject. First time on the front page, and glad to have her. Tammy, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Rob.
This is a bad thing to admit to, that we do still have to deal with this in workplaces and other adult environments, I suppose. It could be sporting clubs, community groups, all sorts of things. But you would think there's been enough emphasis on dealing with this in a school ground that we wouldn't need to take it into workplace. But how serious is it still?
Look, I think the stats tell us that it is an increasingly serious issue. So if anything, I think it's getting worse rather than better. Now, in part, I think that is because we're better understanding what the behaviours are, and so people are starting to report it more. So you often see that when you get more awareness of what a topic is, that the figures start to go up. But I think it's also a function of the last few years have been really difficult for, you know, most people, let's be honest. And unfortunately, some pretty kind of unpleasant behaviours have come from some of that.
I imagine that the bullies themselves do it for lots of different reasons. Some might just be a character trait they don't know about, they're not aware of. Some might do it because it gives them power and authority, and some might do it for other financial gains. Does it, the reason that there's so many different types of bullies, make it more difficult to handle?
Look, I don't think so. I think I think it's helpful if you can understand someone's motivation. It's helpful as a person who is being bullied, because that gives you some context to decide what it is you want to do about it. But at the end of the day, someone's intent, someone's motivation is really irrelevant to this. It's not about the fact that they intend to bully you. It's not about the fact that, although they didn't mean to, but it just came out because they're, you know, they're under pressure themselves. The reality is it's about the actual behaviour itself, and importantly, the behaviour that it's having on you, and whether it's creating a risk to your health and safety. So there's a really kind of specific definition of bullying now. And I think it's really about kind of focusing less on the bully and what their motivation and intent is, and more about what is the impact of that behaviour on the person who is being bullied.
Another one of our regular guests talks about this workplace culture, and it's a big thing for me, the word culture. If you're in an environment where it's accepted, and you mentioned something that's very interesting, and I think during pandemic periods and since, is the pressure coming down from upper management on individuals to meet performance requirements might force them inadvertently to be bullies without realising it. Do companies' management need to take, are they the first ones that need to take responsibility here?
Look, I think all organisations, absolutely, you know, and it's interesting that you talk about culture, because, you know, that's a big passion of mine as well. And I think that, you know, where you've got organisations where this sort of stuff is allowed to flourish, it is a function of culture, either deliberate or otherwise. But in terms of, you raise a really interesting point about what happened during the pandemic, and I think one of the things that is really misunderstood about bullying is the difference between bullying behaviours and genuine performance management. And I think often that's where, you know, this is such a misunderstood topic generally, that people, you know, can be performance managed because their performance is not up to scratch, and that is completely appropriate and in every organisation. And sometimes people's response to that is, I'm being bullied, and actually they're not being bullied at all. It is a completely appropriate response. Sometimes the manner in which that performance management has taken place is bullying. So it's not the fact that the person is being performance managed, or it's not the fact that, you know, pressure is coming on them to achieve organisational goals or whatever, but the manner in which the person is going about doing it is completely inappropriate, and it is bullying. So it's complicated, Rob. It's really complicated, and I think that's why it makes it difficult for people to know, am I being bullied? Is it appropriate? Do I speak up? You know, where am I in all of this?
And, of course, the old reverse bullying, as soon as a bully is challenged, quite often have the skill to turn the tables around, and I suppose that creates another issue as well. In your role, do companies ask you to come in to look at situations, or do you go in because someone's raised the red flag? How does it work for your role?
Yeah, so a number of different things. So sometimes I come in and someone's made a complaint of bullying, and so I actually investigate whether that's true, according to the legal definition of bullying. So more often these days, organisations are saying, look, we'd like you to come in and have a look at our culture. We'd like you to come in and see whether we're allowing an environment or creating an environment where bullying can flourish. So let's be a bit proactive about it and look at the sorts of things that we know where you know, bullying can thrive, and let's nip that in the bud before it happens. So it's usually one of those two things. It's coming in after the event, or more likely coming in beforehand and saying, how can we stop it happening?
I'm tiptoeing into this area, but I imagine in your position, if you're called in by company management to deal with bullying, that would be a lot easier environment for you to operate in, knowing that you've got support rather than going into to defend an individual in a big company who's claiming that they're being bullied?
Look, it's really, really tricky. Organisations typically, you know, let's put the cards on the table, organisations typically still don't handle this particularly well as a generalisation. You know, they often go into defence mode, so you're quite right. So it's really tricky, and when I'm advising people, you know, separate to coming into a company, when I'm advising people as individuals, I really spend a lot of time with them, getting them to think about what is it that you want to do here. Because going through a complaints process, which is the thing that we are all taught to do, and it's what's in all of the company policies and so forth, can be incredibly, incredibly difficult, can be incredibly stressful. And I'm sure your callers will ring up and tell you their examples of where you know, it hasn't necessarily gone that well for them. So there's a piece, I think, before we even, you know, there's a piece around, am I being bullied? So let's look at the definition of bullying. Am I being bullied? Then the next piece is, what do I want to do about it? And, you know, do I want to go through the company machinations, if they even exist? And what are the implications of that? What sort of support am I likely to get? And if I'm not likely to get support, what, you know, where does that leave me? So, yeah, very, very tricky as an individual. And not something to necessarily be done lightly, I think. I think it's worth going into it with your eyes open.
Culture, we talked about before, we both agree that it's very important, but we also know that it's very difficult to change, and I imagine the bigger the company, the more difficult it becomes. Over the time, seeing you've made it a bit of a pet project of yours, have you got better at knowing how to change culture quickly?
I don't think it does change quickly. I think what does change it is where you have an absolute and unwavering commitment from the top. So where you've got leadership that accepts that things are happening that may not be good, where people own up to it, and this is where I think organisations often, there's a real tension between, well, if we come clean and we say there are behaviours that are not good, you know, are we going to be exposed in the media? Are people going to make claims against us? And so they kind of, you know, they walk this line where, oh, things aren't that bad. And people are like, come on, mate, you know, we know it's bad because we're living it. So I think where I've seen organisations where things have changed quicker than others is where there's been that unwavering commitment and honesty and transparency from the top to say, you've asked us, this is how things are, we accept that, we're going to work with you to make it different, and then actually doing it. So often I see organisations that will say, yep, okay, we're going to get into it. They ask people for their views and then nothing really happens. And people say, well, that was a bit of a waste of time. So it's that commitment from the top and then absolute action. And then there will be absolute, the difficulty is once you embark upon this as a culture change, there will be times for organisations where they're challenged and they're, you know, they've got to put their money where their mouth is and make really difficult decisions. And I think that's where culture starts to change, where people see, that person has been moved on because of behaviours that are inappropriate. Now we see that things are starting to change.
This is a subject that's been talked about a lot over a long period of time, and not before time either, but the focus had always been around schoolyards.
Yep.
and cultures in school and situations, and it probably still goes on. I would hope a lot less. Have there been any lessons in your time in this space from success in schoolyards that's easily adaptable to business and corporate models, or is it just a completely different thing dealing with teenage bullying to bullying from a 50, 60-year-old person?
Yeah, look, I think it's similar and different. So similar in that we know some of those human characteristics that you talked about in terms of power and so forth are probably the same. Different in that, you know, children and teenagers and even young adults, we know their brains are still maturing. We know that the way that people deal with things is not necessarily completely optimal yet because their brains haven't yet reached full maturity, whereas you'd hope by the time you reach 50 and 60 that you've kind of got there. What I would say is that I think the lessons we can learn, and when you talk to parents about the frustrations about bullying in the schoolyard, is often what they'll say is the school didn't do anything about it. And so that perception that there was inaction. So I think that is the real lesson, whether it's in the schoolyard or whether it is in the workplace, is what are we actually going to be seen to be doing something about it? I think the other frustration you will often hear from parents who are involved in bullying in the schoolyard is that the victim is often told to just become more resilient and, you know, just toughen up, princess. Whereas, and again, I think in the workplace, often we talk about resilience. We talk about, well, if people are more resilient, then they can be part of these tough environments and they won't be so affected. I think really, as human beings, we're starting to understand that we've really badly misused this word resilience, and that we shouldn't be having to toughen up people in order to be able to respond to really poor behaviour from somebody else.
Yeah, and we're becoming Well, not quite as bad as America, but we're spending a little bit more time in the courts. Is there been enough activity in courts to give corporate bodies a real good shake-up that they need to spend more time in this area?
No, I don't think so. So I think the Fair Work Commission, or Fair Work Act, has just introduced a new definition of bullying. It's introduced a stop bullying order, which has, you know, given a bit more emphasis. But up until now, it has really been the health and safety legislation that has been really the only kind of legal provision that people have been able to take, and that hasn't massively been used yet. But I think we'll start with the introduction of psychosocial hazards and all of the attention that's been received around that. I think that's going to start to change. I think people are starting to say, actually, it's not appropriate that I come into the workplace and that I leave the workplace damaged, and I leave the workplace in either my physical or my mental health being less optimal than it was when I started. That's not what we come to work for. So, you know, just like the old ads that you used to see where, you know, someone, you don't come to work to go home dead, the same thing applies from a bully perspective. You don't come home, go to work in order to be really mentally abused and shamed.
And
starting to see a shift.
And not wanting to go back the next day and the day after and the day after. Tammy, you strike me as the sort of person who has set your career task because you want to make a difference. I don't know how long you've been in the field, but do you feel you're making a difference? Do you feel progress is being made? Or do you think that in 10, 15 years you'll be doing the same thing in the same places for the same reasons?
That's a bit of a... I think it depends on what day you ask me that question.
Yeah.
Some days I work with organisations and I think, yep, there is a point to doing this and we are making a difference. Other days I work with organisations and I think, you know, we're just really doing it for, you know, being able to say we've ticked a box. Look, I think there is... I think the fact that we're having this conversation on radio, I think the fact that it's more easily talked about, I think the people are saying, actually, that's not okay. There is a difference. It is, you know, we are slowly seeing that, you know, it's not acceptable. So just like, you know, now we accept that it's not acceptable for people to come into the workplace and, you know, ruin their backs by inappropriate workplace lifting or, you know, get electrocuted or, you know, go blind because of using chemicals. We accept that that's, you know, and we're kind of appalled by that even as a thought. I think gradually we're beginning to accept that the same sort of thing applies to bullying.
One of my other pet hate is leadership or lack thereof in key issues, and this is one where we see this played out daily on our screens in the Parliament of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And until we can get them to set some sort of an example, I reckon your job's going to continue to be tough. Have you thought about some ways of putting your skill set into Canberra, where I think the changes really need to be made first?
Look, I think they've given that a bit of a go. There's people who are trying to work in that space around bullying and harassment and so forth. That is a massive, massive topic, Robin. You're quite right. There is behaviours that go on there that, you know, just which are played out on our television screens, and you know, so inappropriate. I think you're right, that has to change. Is that going to change overnight or even in the short term? I don't think so. I think that doesn't stop the rest of us, though, saying we don't want to be like that. You know, we don't want to be like that. And we've got some agency over our organisations. We've got some control over how we behave ourselves. We've got some control about how we lead our teams. And just because the leaders behave like children doesn't mean that we have to.
It's quite bizarre to me, I know from sporting adage, when you actually see something, it makes you understand it a lot better. So if you are a bully and don't realise it, yet it's shown to you, it might be filmed or recorded, and you get it put back in your face. Oh, actually, Hank, that was inappropriate. I probably stopped doing that. It's bizarre to think that our politicians can see themselves on a daily basis behave like that and yet have no interest in changing. That's going to make it awfully difficult to change.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you open the segment around power.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, there's other things that are going on there that I think will make it awfully difficult to change. But, you know, as legislation changes, you know, eventually Parliament will get caught up in some of that legislation, because at the moment they're a bit immune from it. You know, I think we'll see eventually change will happen, because people's tolerance for this is just, you know, it's becoming more and more overt that people are like, actually, no, that's not how we should behave as human beings. But yeah, it will take time.
Hey, that was I was going to finish up there, but I just want to go on. That's a very interesting point you make there about the people who are creating the problem maybe not have the appetite to change, but do you think as a society we're getting to the stage now where instead of just being immune to it, people are starting, now hang on a minute, no, we don't need to put up with this, we shouldn't have to do this. So there's more of a collective social push to stop it rather than individuals just dealing with it on their own?
I would say yes, with the exception of the Tough and Nut Princess.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
Element.
Yeah.
Who say, you know, we're all becoming too woke and soft and blah, 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 blah. So, but I think more generally society, and I think those, the Tough Nut Princess people, when it impacts them individually or members of their loved ones or their family or their children, then it's like, ah, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
Not about being soft. It's not about being, you know, not being able to be resilient in the workplace. It's not about that. When you see firsthand the impact of bullying on someone or on your, you know, on yourself, experience it yourself, you understand how this is not just a resilience issue. It's not just being able to, you know, not handle the workplace.
It's a very good point to finish on, because from my experience as well, the ones who I've ever heard say, toughen up, princess, have lived in a pretty protected life themselves and haven't had to do much toughening up princess themselves, is my experience.
Indeed, yep.
Tammy Tansley, thank you so much for your time this morning. It was a joy to chat to you on a very difficult subject, but it sounds to me like you've got the tools to fix it and you might already be making some change. So continue good work to you.
Thanks very much, Rob. Have a good show.
All the very best. Tammy Tansley, and that's a interesting subject. And if you are in a position where you go to work and you don't like going to work for this reason and you wonder what you need to do, well, maybe you need to get support outside of the workplace, but maybe it's just a conversation within the workplace. And again, perhaps, as we talked about earlier, if you understand that the problem is not just your problem, but it's a shared problem with others, you might find from discussions with other work colleagues that you can actually collectively go to management and speak about this rather than trying to either A, deal with it yourself and bang your head against the wall, or just keep it internally and make going to work an unpleasant experience. Please don't do that. There's ways around it. Try and find a work colleague to share the pain with, or speak to someone in management that might be able to help you. But you don't have to live with it on your own. If worst case scenario, then the Tammy Tansleys of the world who operate outside, you can find them by Googling someone that may be able to assist you outside the workplace and take your cause to management if you can't. But please don't go to work every day and be miserable because you're being treated poorly. There's no need for it. In this day and age, we should be a better society than that. So stand up, have a chat. I know it's tough in some cases, but at least look around for some assistance to help, because I guarantee it's not a fight you need to take up on your own. There will be others with the same concerns.